Welcome to episode 215 of Sports Geek. On this week's episode, I share my presentation from International Podcast Day.
Welcome to Sports Geek, the podcast built for sports digital and sports business professionals. And now, here's your host who can help you develop your podcast, Sean Callanan.
Thanks, DJ Joel. Yes, my name is Sean Callanan, and I am a podcaster, and I do work at Sports Geek. We work with teams around their digital fan engagement strategies and, in some cases, helping them with podcasts. You can find me in all places on the internet at Sean Callanan or at Sports Geek. Or you can hit me up the old-fashioned way, Sean at sportsgeekhq.com. And what I want to ask you right now is, do you get Sports Geek news? Do you get a weekly email that we send out Wednesday, our time, Tuesday, in some parts of the world? It's my weekly email. They're the articles that I read that I think you should read. They are curated by your clicks on my socials. It's a mix of sports, technology, marketing, digital and trends. So if you want to stay in touch and know what I've been reading, sign up for Sports Geek News. If you're already a subscriber, thank you. You can sign up going to sportsgeekhq.com/SGN. And if you are a subscriber, please, next time you get the email, send it to someone. Say, hey, check out this email. I'd really appreciate it. This week's episode is a replay of a presentation that I did recently for International Podcast Day, which was September 30 in the US and September... And so I actually presented on 1st of October because obviously here I am in the future. So I gave a little bit of my insights into the podcasting space, what I've learned over 5 years, and really sort of focused in on the, I guess, the marketing of a podcaster and the things that you have to do after you turn the mic off. So not so much the technical pieces of building a podcast, but more about the pieces of the puzzle that that we follow at Sports Geek around promoting our podcast and the content around it. So I hope you enjoy it. Recently been to a couple of podcast conferences, been to Podcast Movement in July in Philly. It was the third time I've been to Podcast Movement. Actually, this presentation was one of the Ignite presentation that I was scheduled to do, but I could not present because of a clash with seat. I can't be presenting in two places at once. But really enjoyed meeting with the podcasting community and sort of seeing what the trends are, trends around different types of formats. Not everyone is doing interview pods like this one. The opportunities around branded content and the appetite for sponsors being in podcasts. And I think this is something that's available both in the wider industry, but also in the sports industry. I still think there's a lot to be done in the sports space around podcasting from a team and league point of view. So if you want, again, if you want to talk about podcasting and potentially how you might want to use it, please reach out, drop me a line, reach out to me via email or LinkedIn. Yeah, so all the stats that are coming out from Edison Research and the ABC recently put one out. I was at the AusPod conference, AusPod 2018, this week in Melbourne. All the numbers say listenership is up, awareness of podcasts are up, people are listening to more podcasts. People who listen to podcasts are listening to podcasts. Don't have to tell you that. You're listening to a podcast, and I'm very thankful for that. There's obviously some changes happening around Android and Google, with Google coming out with its own app. I don't think it's a great app at the minute. I'm still a Pocket Cast guy, but I think it does open up a whole market of Android users to make it easier for them to get podcasts, because one of the reasons people don't listen to podcasts is it's hard to listen to a podcast. So hopefully that does go away. If you want some more resources or you want to talk podcasting, as I said, please reach out. Otherwise, from a resource point of view, I highly recommend the Pod News email, podnews.net, or Nick Kwa's Hot Pod. I'm a subscriber and a patron of both. That's what I use to keep up to date with the podcasting scene. Check it out. So thanks again to Dave Lee and the guys at the International Podcast Day for inviting me on to talk. So this is my presentation from International Podcast Day.
Well, Sean, welcome into International Podcast Day. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for the opportunity. So for people, hopefully everything is working, and I guess you'll be telling me if it's not via the chat and things like that. So first of all, to give you a bit of a who am I? My name is Sean Callanan, and my business is Sports Geek. I started Sports Geek 9 years ago, and it works with sports teams and leagues around their digital and fan engagement. So we've been helping sports teams, leagues, athletes drive and build their fan bases via digital, via both social and digital. And I found myself finding podcasts as my medium to both connect with my audience and my clients. So my podcast origin story, if you will. For a long time, I was a blogger telling people about the opportunities in sports, social media, and digital. And I was also doing some radio pieces, a couple of different radio spots here in Australia. And I was putting those audio grabs up every week. So two different audio segments, one with ABC Grandstand, the national broadcaster here in Australia, and also one with Daniel Harford on a local sports radio talking about some of the issues around sports and digital social media and those kind of things. And it wasn't until I actually went to Social Media Marketing World in San Diego in 2013, where I was having an idea to start a podcast. And I was lucky enough to see Pat Flynn speak and do his keynote about podcasting and sort of his method of how to do podcasting. So I know a lot to Pat Flynn. I was a long-time listener of his podcast, the Smart Passive Income podcast, and so I really looked up to him. And so I came away from that knowing that I wanted to podcast and sort of take it seriously. So I started by taking those radio segments and bundling them up and cutting them together, taking one or two segments, doing some intros and outros. And at that point, I was doing all the editing. I was putting it together with GarageBand. Probably audio wasn't probably great, and sort of started pitching it out there as a podcast. And as soon as I called it a podcast, it was creatively titled at that point, Sports Geek Podcast. It started getting listenership and traction. So it was a bit of a turning point for me to find out that that it worked. And then the podcast evolved from the radio segments that I was doing to more long-form interviews where I would be interviewing people who work in the sports business, whether they be in the marketing side, digital technology, all areas that we work at Sports Geek. And so my goal for the podcast and why I podcast is I always joke that it's for my past clients, current clients, and future clients. So it's very much a business development marketing effort from my point of view, and it's done wonders to build the Sports Geek brand both here in Australia and in the US market and in Europe, because I've been lucky enough to have guests from all parts of the world and talking about different market segments and what they're doing and what teams are doing differently. So that's been really important, and then it's also grown my personal brand and led to speaking engagements at conferences around the world, and definitely led to work and consulting work and project work for Sports Geek. I'm always blown away when I have podcast listeners send me an email, send me a tweet, call me up and say, "Hey, we're ready." And I'm like, "Ready for what?" And they're like, "I'm ready to start working." And podcasting's worked terrifically well because it is that long form content. I get into the ears of potential clients for 30 to 40 minutes a week, get my point of view across, be able to share some great best practice from around the world. And so that's been very effective for me. And so for today, primarily just going to do this as a talk. I'm happy to take questions as I go. Recently did some stand-up comedy, so I'm happy to take on hecklers as well. So I wanted to go through some of the the technical details and the behind the scenes of what I do for our podcast. So you understand those pieces. But as I sort of said in the title, creating the podcast is 20% of the work. So I'm going to take you through how we put our podcast together, but then look at the 80%, how we've gone about marketing it, some of the different tactics that have worked and what's worked to grow the audience and the listenership and the Sports Geek brand overall from a podcast point of view. So some of the technical details, we've been with Libsyn since the beginning. So Libsyn has been our podcast host for the beginning. We also, Todd was just on from Blueberry. We actually use the Blueberry PowerPress plugin to wrap our RSS feed and manage that for iTunes. We've also been a big user of and one of the early adopters for Pat Flynn's smart podcast player. So that's the player you see on Sports Geek HQ. It's also the single track player that you see on all the show notes. So yeah, we find that works well and still surprising how many people do listen on the website. I took a lot of takeaways from Rob Welsh from Libsyn's podcast movement presentation over the last 2 years. There's still a lot of people listening on the website, even though, I'm a fan of different podcast apps and Google is finally getting into the game. Still a lot of people listening on the website. Some other tools that we use, we do all our artwork for show notes and all the images that get done for the show notes. We do all that with Canva that gets produced every week for every episode. We use Slack as a communications tool for our podcast team, and I'll go through who the podcast team is, but we found that to be very effective in sending our editor, James, a Dropbox link, and then sharing show notes and then sharing images. We've tried a few different tools around transcriptions, and the one that we've been using lately has been Trint, so that's T-R-I-N-T, where it does turn around the podcast really, really quickly from a transcription point of view. It's using machine learning to better understand. It's got a nice little editor to be able to quickly go through and pull potential quotes for the show notes and things like that. And then a few other tools that we use. We use CoSchedule, which is available as a WordPress plugin to make sure all of our podcasts get promoted on all the platforms. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But been a big fan of CoSchedule to be able to schedule multiple tweets, multiple posts on multiple platforms over time. One we're finding that working really well is the a year ago post that we do. So a year later, we post about the podcast, and we normally get really good traction both with the guests and potentially listeners who missed that episode from a year ago. Some other plugins, with the website being on WordPress, we use the Pretty Links plugin, which allows us to put any link and redirect it. And so we use that for show notes. So if you want to go to episode 100, it would be sportsgeekhq.com/100. And the same for episode 200. We also use those pretty links for all our different links to different platforms. So it's far easier for me to say, you want to find us on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whichever one you would like. You can go to sportsgeekhq.com/Apple. Podcast, and it will find it. So makes it a little bit easier when you're doing the spoken word call outs. Buffer is another app that we use around social media and curation and posts and things like that. So again, that's another method for us to get the content out. From a recording point of view, I've got a Zoom H6, which I use out in the field, and then sometimes I use it. I'm currently recording and doing that today through that, but other times if I'm doing an international call and I end up doing them sort of at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning over in Melbourne time, I normally use a call recorder with Skype. That Touchwood hasn't had any problems for us. So that's some of the technical, I guess, details and some of the pieces of the puzzle. As I said when I started the podcast, I started it and it was a one-man band. It was me recording it. It was me editing it. It was me doing the show notes. It was me creating the artwork. It was me promoting it. Over time, I've taken on board some people to take over specific tasks. So as I said, I started as the editor in GarageBand. And I was quite dismayed when GarageBand updated and then stopped allowing podcasts as a default. And I'll put my hand up and say I'm not a big audiophile and I wasn't editing and checking every and ah and those kind of things. I was doing really light edit. I was using Orphonic. There's another tool that forgot to mention, Orphonic, A-U-P-H-O-N-I-C, does a really good job of one, normalizing the audio if you want it and putting in the cover image and all the MP3 tags if you would like and then point it to the appropriate platforms. So it would automatically send it to Libsyn. So we're still using that to do that. But so James Zede came on board as my podcast editor. He's based out of London. He's done about the last 120 episodes of Sports Geek. And, you know, I really wish I had hired James a little bit earlier. He does a remarkable job, focuses on the bits that I don't do well, which is making sure the audio sounds good, cleaning it up if there's an issue, whether I've recorded it over Skype and there might be some line problems or whether I've recorded it sitting in the dugout at AT&T Park and there might be some wind noise at the background. James does a terrific job in cleaning that up. Jolly works at Sports Geek as a digital marketing and content producer, and she's now the podcast producer in helping set up the interviews and produce the show notes and make sure that it's out ready to go on Monday night our time. And then the other person is part of the team, which is a vital part, is DJ Joel. DJ Joel is our voiceover artist, and he does the intros and outros and some of the ad reads. And I found DJ Joel on Fiverr 5 years ago, and have been using him ever since. So I write the witty intros, and DJ Joel says them every week. So I normally batch those up, and then he sends them through. So that's a bit of the the how we make the sausage, so to speak. It usually is we book the interview. I record the interview, whether it's in real life or via Skype, and then from that process, then I'll record the intros and outros in a separate session. One tool that I didn't mention that I do use a lot is Workflowy, workflowy.com. I'm actually looking at it now. It's got my notes for this talk. We use that for the show notes and the guidelines for the show notes. I use it for the intros. So I will put that show notes together, send it to James and say, here's all the pieces. Please use this audio for the intro. Use these ads. Here's all the links, those kind of things. So it pretty much has everything that he needs from a brief. Once James has produced it, it then gets sent off to Jolly, and Jolly runs it through Trint to get the transcription. She then listens to the episode while checking Trint to look for quotes and some insights put into the show notes, and producing the graphics, getting them approved by the client, and then pushing them out. So that's a lot of work. That's the 20% that I was talking about earlier of getting it started. And so then what we do is we apply a process that we actually use at Sports Geek for sports teams and leagues. And so the process is called Digital to Dollars. And I'm currently writing a book about the process. And so the first, it has five steps, and it's to help sports teams and leagues monetize and drive revenue from digital. And the first three of the pillars of the five still apply to any content producer. So I'm going to take you through that process and how it applies to us as a podcaster and as a marketer that markets a podcast and as a marketer that markets our business. So the first part of the digital dollars process is knowing your audience. And understanding your audience is the key piece. And so for us, it's about knowing my clients and who are my clients and where are they and what are they doing. So for us, For us, digital to dollars is starts with, you know, knowing your audience. Who are they? And so in our case, it's sports digital and sports sponsorship commercial folk that are trying to raise awareness and sell digital assets that they've built. And so I want people who work in a pro sports or a national sports organizing body. And I want them to listen. If anyone else listens to the podcast, I'm very thankful. If you're a sports business student, I'm happy you're listening. If you're someone who likes marketing and likes sports and wants to listen in, I'm happy you're listening. But I want CMOs, chief marketing officers, chief digital officers, chief commercial officers, those kind of people listening to the podcast. Because as I said earlier, I want past clients, current clients, future clients listening to the podcast. And so, one, I found out that podcasting and talking has been, you know, my best platform. So then the next thing was, where are these people and what do they want and when do they want it and how will they consume it? And so for us, number one was the podcast. So it was partly how do we get the right guests? How do we get the right people who will share their knowledge, share their best practice that will be of benefit to my audience? And it always comes down to that. What do the audience want? How will this help the audience? If I steer away from that, then it falls away. I did catch a little bit of Todd Cochran's talk before about PR agents. I don't quite think they're as evil or as Todd was saying, but I understand the point where you get pitched someone that says, oh, this will be great for your audience. As the podcast host, I have to decide that. And I have to have my, I have to think about my podcast audience and what they would want. So I'm always looking at, and it's something we're doing every day when we're working with clients, is what's the problems they have? What are the problems that are they having? How can we help solve those problems? And so that's what I always dive into when I'm interviewing. I always like to get a little bit of background. How did they get here? Because again, I know I have a part of my audience that might be younger, that's just starting out, wanting to break into this business. So I want to get some insights into that. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that they're doing really well. One of the phrases we use on the podcast a lot is steal with pride. We want someone to go, oh, wow, that's really cool. How can I do it? And so they're always coming to the podcast looking for that thing. If they can come away with that one thing to go, yes, that's why I'm going to come back and listen again. Then the second piece is sort of where they are. And so early on, and we're going to go through this a little bit more in the other platforms, because there's know your audience, know your content, and know your distribution. So distribution is all about how you go about using all the different platforms available. But when you are defining your audience, you want to start building out that persona and saying, you know, who are they? They might be a CMO. They might be working for a professional team. They're doing really long hours. They work most weekends. They primarily consume from their mobile. They might be more effective to be able to be reached on LinkedIn. Like that might be where they're now consuming content as LinkedIn has changed. They might be using Twitter, but what are they using it for? Is that something that's going to draw them in? And then the other thing I think from a podcasting point of view is also when they will consume it. Unfortunately, podcasting isn't an overly, I found at least, overly social content piece. Like if because someone is normally engaged in something else, they're engaged in listening, but they're doing something else. So they don't have their phone out. They're not tweeting about it. They're not talking to you about it because they're running or they're driving or they're doing some exercise, those kind of things. And so knowing that people are listening to podcasts as they're walking their dog or as they're running down the street, they're not going to pull out their phone and send you a tweet and ask you a question. So it's something that you've got to realize as a podcast producer that when and where they're doing it. And also that does sometimes come down to length. I try to keep my podcast to a point that it might be an average commute, 30 to 40 minutes maybe. Sometimes if it's interesting, it'll go longer. And it is sometimes funny when a guest says, how long will it be? And my answer is always, it'll be as long as I'm interested, because if I'm interested, the listeners will be interested. And I say, if it's really short, that means you're really boring. And it sort of breaks the ice a little bit. And once they get into it, it does become interesting. But it is something that you always got to be listening for. If you find yourself tuning out, then just imagine what your listeners are doing. So, again, trying to build it so there is a really strong takeaway for the people who are going to listen, and then how they are consuming it. So that's what I'm always looking at for all of my content, but it's definitely, you know, where I start. How can I get people who are very time poor, how do we get those people listening to commit 40 minutes, because it is a long time. And, you know, getting those driveway moments, you know, is a really good way of putting it. At Kay Jansen from New Zealand, thank you very much. So then the next part of the digital dollars process is know your content. And so normally in this process, we would review all content that was produced by a team or a league, or in this case, a brand or someone that's producing content to get their message out. Now, we can't just have, oh, cool, content, podcast, tick, that's it, we're doing that once a week. Because that can't be everything. You can't put all of it on, hey, we've done a podcast. And that's where potentially the frustration I see on the focus of creating of the podcast, and the fact that there's a lot of people potentially that say, hey, I've done it. Look at me. I've produced a great podcast. There it is. And they're not doing all of the extra things to market it and other supporting content that can help it. Because as a podcaster, you're always should be marketing your podcast. And so you've got to think, how can I go about doing that? One, you've got your show notes. How can you do that? How can you do them differently? How can you make them compelling? How can you make people actually click through to them? You know, we've tried things like quote tiles and quotes from guests with a little bit of hit and miss, and it's about finding out what platform that best works on. We've had some success with audiograms and giving little snippets of audio to be put on different platforms, especially with platforms like LinkedIn, wanting more videos. Sometimes that can work more, as well as putting supporting content or full episodes potentially on YouTube. Again, might not be how you've got to start thinking. It might not be the way that you consume podcasts. It must, you know, you've got to be thinking of, how can I bring someone else in? How else can I bring someone else in? Because it's very easy to convert, talk to someone who listens to podcasts. Hey, you listen to podcasts? Yeah, I love podcasts. I listen to Serial. And then once I finish listening to Serial, I start listening to other things. So one of the things that I've done a lot around, I think, is help build my audience, is actually the work that I've done in curating content and using curation as a strategy to build my audience. And so that comes down to, you know, using tools like Buffer. And so every time I read something, whether it's related to sports, business, marketing, technology, social media, sports, whatever it is, that if it piques my interest, I think, well, hang on, that might also pique the interest of my listeners. And so I then share all of those articles that I read on my social media platforms. And I use Buffer to do that and send it out to multiple platforms. And what that does is it builds rapport with the audience, that when I go to the ask and when I share my content, it comes back to me. So it's a little bit Gary V, if you've read Jab, 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 Right Hook. You know, the curation is the jabs, is the, hey, here's some information that people will build on. And one of the things that I found is that I was finding people were reading, they were saying, oh, I'm loving what you're sharing on LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is not where I get my content from. I get it from other sources. I get it from my friends on Twitter. I get it from products like Nuzzle, which is a great curation tool that tells you what your Twitter following are sharing. So I use a few different tools to find out what I should be reading. And then the interesting thing is I then share. And so knowing that people are looking at that content, clicking through on that content, engaging with that content, again, lifts my personal brand as someone who's sharing content. And then the podcast is part of that puzzle. Because if I just did the podcast, then I'd have one piece of content per week and there's every chance the algorithms don't pick me up and people don't click through or don't know about it. So the curation piece for me has been, you know, really vital because it's helped elevate me at the same time the podcast does as well. So I really, you know, as a if you're saying, hey, we've got to do, you know, it's really challenging as a podcaster as you're doing one, you know, one episode a week and you don't want to be sitting there doing six posts about your podcast and that's all that's happening. And so it looks a little bit me. So if you take a bit of a curation approach, whether it's a wide curation angle where you're looking at all things that are interesting to you, or whether it's super sharp and narrow of I'm just going to be the person, you know, the guy or the woman that is the authority or is going to share everything that I know about this space, that's your opportunity. So, yes, Steph, Nuzzle, you've spelled it correctly. Medium, Steph's asked there, do I use Medium? No, I haven't. I've probably done one or two Medium posts, if I'm honest. There's a little bit of. I'm not a massive fan of building out on someone else's land. I think it is, as I said. But that said, I am doing it with using platforms like Facebook and LinkedIn and those kind of things. But I feel like Medium, potentially takes people away from what you can do. But that said, I haven't really tested it to be completely honest. So that's the know your content piece. One, you know, the takeaway would be from me is podcast is going to be your major. It's going to be anchor of your content. But what is the supporting content you can build off that? There's a little bit of the you know, the turkey analogy. How many pieces of content can you build off that piece? You know, there's a lot of opportunities in that space. And so then the third part, one, two, three, is know your distribution. So know your distribution is understanding, I guess, the plumbing of the internet. To know that we've gone from a place where, as I said, when I started, blogging was a thing. Everyone was a blogger. Good friends of mine, Darren Rouse, pro blogger. You know, that landscape has changed to where now we're at a point where the traffic of the internet is driven by the big players. Facebook, Twitter is still doing it, you know, LinkedIn. And so it's a matter of how do you engage on those platforms to make sure you get your results. And your results, again, can be defined in multiple ways. And so I'll go through how we use the current platforms that are available and why we use them. So Facebook is the one that we start. Twitter is probably the one we started with. Had the most success with early on to connect with guests and audience. But what we have seen is I guess the noise of Twitter and the traffic is really low. So Twitter is really an engagement piece. It's a good way to engage with guests and tag them and those kind of things. But it's not a massive traffic driver. And that's where podcasting is. It's a bit of a weird beast because it's not built for traffic, because someone sees a post, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be on Instagram, wherever it is, and then their behavior is to go somewhere else to listen, whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's Pocket Casts, whether it's Overcast, you know, whatever, whether it's Google Podcasts, whether they're talking to their Alexa to play the podcast. So it's disconnected. It's not like, hey, here's a great article I wrote, click through, read the article, and it's a simple transaction. So there's a part of what you're trying to do on the platforms is building an audience, making people aware of the podcast, and then having a bit of trust that relates to potentially listenership or conversion in some other way, whether it be becoming part of your email list. And so so that's sort of the, I guess, the strategy that we use across all of our platforms. So to start with Facebook, we use, and we, you know, we're unashamed fans of Facebook and the the ad product. So a lot of the stuff that we do at Sports Geek is understanding how the Facebook ads product works, and how it can be used for sports teams to sell tickets, sell merchandise, all of those kind of things. And so we use those same tactics with our podcast. So it starts with audience building. To make sure more people are finding out about the podcast, we've found that Facebook has been very good in finding more of our podcast listeners. And so there's probably two different strategies. There's one, what do we do when a podcast gets released? And then what do we do once the podcast is out there in the wild world to drive more people back? So we've tried a few different tactics over the years, but this tactic in various forms has always done really well for us. So when a podcast comes out, let's say it's with Al Guido from the San Francisco 49ers or Bill Schlau from the San Francisco Giants. When we first put it out, we used to boost the post and target people who worked at the business. And so that was terrific when Facebook allowed us to do that, because we'd spend like $7 for 7 days and we made sure every one of their work colleagues saw the post. And so the guest was getting all of this love and a lot of backslapping from their colleagues to say, oh, way to go. Did they listen to the podcast? Maybe, but that wasn't the point. The point was we wanted the guest to get a lot of feedback from his work colleagues that they did a good job, and congrats for them being on the podcast. Unfortunately, Facebook has since taken away that ability to target a particular place of work. So what we also do is do targeting of putting into that market and fans of that team for that suburb and around. So instead of it's not as precise as someone who works there, but it does rally around the fans of the team to potentially bump up the numbers and push it out a little bit wider, especially in that geographical market. And so then the other thing that we do is we also make sure that people have already said that they're a fan of the podcast and a fan of the content that we're producing. We make sure that fans of Sports Geek see that really early on. And so, again, we will do an engagement campaign to people who are already fans. So we've got about 5,000 fans of Sports Geek on Facebook, and I've got about 1,100 for my page. So we make sure they see the post. We're not asking them to click. We're assuming that they're potentially already subscribed in some form or another, but it's a bit of a reminder, hey, here's the new app. Here's the new app with Chris Harris from Arsenal. And so that's the piece where it's all we want them to do is to like. And so again, because they're already a really connected group, it's a really low cost opportunity. It doesn't cost a lot to target our fans because they're willing to do that. But again, they start liking the post. And Steph, I've got your question there. I'm going to take that and come back in a second. And so that piece automatically grabs that post and starts giving it more engagement. So I've got fans of the team or fans of the topic, and then people have already said that they're fans. They've already jumped on board. And so quite early on, we can get a Facebook post that says, here's the episode Sean speaks to Chris Harris from Arsenal, or, TJ Ansley from the Portland Trailblazers, those kind of things, Daniel Brew from the Golden State Warriors, and then that's already got a lot of Facebook likes. So it starts giving you social proof. And so then what we do is pick up that post and start targeting other people that have never heard of me, that have never heard of Sports Geek, that fit our profile of people that work in sport that should be listening to. So we use things like lookalike audiences. We use particular geographical targeting to say, hey, I might be going to London for a speaking event. I might target people there. But I send them the posts that have already had a lot of social engagement. So they've got 50, 60, 100, 200 likes on them. And if that's the first time you're seeing the Sports Geek brand, if that's the first time I'm ever seeing that, then I'm pretty excited, or I'm like, I'm if not excited, my interest is piqued. And we build those campaigns as a conversion campaign. We want them to come through to the website. We want them to come through and read the show notes. We want them to come through and see who else has been a guest. And we've found when we've targeted likely prospects or likely listeners with those really supercharged posts, we're getting them to the website at a far cheaper cost. It's a far cheaper cost. So it's been a combination of engagement and conversion, and flipping the switches on those two have always been interesting. Now, Steph's raised a really good question around what do I do with my guests? Do I expect them to promote it? Do I ask them to promote it? Do I think, you know, it's the listener land grab, if you will. I'm going to interview someone cool and famous with lots of followers. They'll tweet it out and I'll get lots of listeners. I rarely, if at any time, ask the guest to share. As a marketer, that's my job to share. I see my job as to raise up the guest. And normally if I'm doing my job well of raising up the guest, thanking the guest, yes, like Blaze experience there, I tag them on Twitter. I definitely tag them on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn's been a really powerful network for me, both for connecting with the right people. So I've got a really strong sports marketing technology digital audience on LinkedIn. I've explicitly gone out to connect with people that are in the space. So when I put up a post for an episode, I will tag the person. It was great to chat with Al Guido at San Francisco 49ers. We discussed this. He's a great guy. Thank you very much for your time, Al. That sometimes like maybe 30%, the guest will either like that or the guest will then share that. The thing is, by tagging them and tagging their place of employment and some of the topics, then the algorithm kicks in and more people from that actually see it. So there'll be, that digital backslapping happening of people congratulating them, liking it, again, giving it a boost and get some really good organic reach. I very rarely ask them to share it. We do give them all the option. We always go, Jolly will go back and say, hey, guys, if you would like, we're more than happy to give you the snippet of code and you can put it on your website. You know, we give them all the opportunity, but we never make it, you know, what they want to do. So we've had some teams actually put it up on their website and say, hey, here's a conversation with our CEO. Would you like to listen to it? Because it better connects them with the fans. And then we've had others that have sort of ignored it. So, you know, so I was lucky enough to interview Mark Cuban on episode 62. So for those of you who don't know, Mark Cuban is the billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, for me, massive fish. You know, I joke that Mark Cuban was a sports geek just like me. He's just got a little bit more money. But I never expected Mark Cuban to tweet out my link or tweet out that he was on the podcast. He's on a podcast all the time. He does interviews all the time, that kind of thing. So I'd never expect that. You know, if he's a big name or if they are a big name or if she's a big name, then my marketing should be able to get that message out. So that's the way that I tackle it. I guess backing myself as a marketer, I understand if you're just starting out and you're trying to get more listenership, it can be seen as something that is potential to get those listeners. But I see it more as an opportunity to go, well, I know there's a lot of people that follow Mark Cuban on Shark Tank or that are Dallas Mavericks fans or that look up to him as a sports business, you know, pioneer, that I can target them with that. And so that's how I always tackle it. To be lifting up the guests. Yes, I'll do the I'll do the tagging of them when I'm tweeting about it. Try not to do it too much because I don't want to be, I guess, spamming their feed. But, you know, for me, LinkedIn has been, you know, terrific in that sense. We've had a little bit of success with Instagram, but it hasn't been my platform. And again, going back to the audience profiles that we've done, yes, our audience might be on Instagram, but from what I've gathered and I've actually been asking them on the podcast, they're not on Instagram to find out about podcasts, or they're not on Instagram to get inspirational quotes. That's my audience. It might be different for you, so it hasn't quite worked. I think the other thing, there's another few things I think that's been really important. Our email list, has been super important. You know, I don't know if the advice has been said earlier. I wish I'd started my email list sooner. Everyone says that. So if you haven't started an email list, do so. We use Drip. We start off with MailChimp. Drip is a tremendous product. You go to sportsgeekhq.com/getdrip if you want an affiliate link. So it's really good for us to understand what people are clicking on, why they're clicking on it. We actually take all of the content and the links that I share on a weekly basis, and that becomes the content for the newsletter. So whatever gets clicked on ends up in Sports Geek News. If you're interested, sportsgeekhq.com/SGN. You can sign up for Sports Geek News. And obviously every week the podcast gets promoted in there. So again, not expecting people to click on it, but I do want to make sure that they know who I've been talking to and chatting with. So it's been a big method of, I guess, bringing people in and bringing people into the podcast fold, because we might have someone that reads the newsletter every week, clicks on links, sees what the podcasts are, and it might take 10, 15 emails before they start becoming a listener. So it's not going to happen straight away. Other things I think that you can do from a podcasting point of view is not underestimate community. So I've had a few different goes at developing community. Had a Facebook group that was set up to connect Sports Geek podcast listeners, and it was a little bit hit and miss. We probably set it up 4 years ago. And then I also set up a free Slack group for people who are in the sports business. I said, if you're in sports biz and you want to test out this little startup called Slack and share and connect and talk about what you're doing. So I set that up. And that little Slack group grew to 1,500 people from all around the world, sharing about digital and technology and esports and sponsorship and ticketing. And so that's now evolved to being Sports Geek Nation, which is a live paid community with a mix of people who work in sports at a pro team side and leagues and agents that work with athletes, as well as vendors that are working in the space. And so that's now become a new way for me to connect, and it's actually produced some guests, some content that I'm talking about on the podcast. Now, you know, we're using a Slack group that's not paid for, the free version. The free version, you get 10,000 messages before it starts rolling over, and you can't search for them anymore. Our Slack group has just passed, I think it's 35,000 messages. So Slack is, I found it to be amazing, but it's more the development of the community and connecting with people. And so I'm really excited to see where, I guess, the paid community aspect of Sports Geek and the podcast goes. The podcast was rebranded 12 or 18 months ago. I think it was from last year's podcast movement. I came away. It was called Sports Geek Podcast. My cover art was me standing in front of the stadium of Barcelona, and it was pretty successful. But what I realized is half my audience was in the US. They probably don't follow football as much. And so I rebranded the podcast to be Sports Geek, dropped the word podcast, and changed the branding, the cover art around it to, and now I'm holding a NBA basketball to have a bit more broader appeal, but probably broader appeal in the US. So there's a questionnaire. Does Slack notify users when they have messages? Yes, you can turn your notifications on or off. You can snooze them when you're asleep. And it is used outside the US. We've been using it internally and with clients. Question here from Blaze. And again, apologies if I'm saying it wrong. Is there a guest that's more high profile on a particular topic? What's your approach to contacting them to be a guest? Do you try to build a relationship over a long period first? Probably Mark Cuban's probably the best example of that. And I did an episode where I sort of went through how I guess snagged Mark Cuban. I connected with him, I think 4 years before I actually made the ask, and actually just had, was just by chance, was talking on his Cyberdust app. I was able to pique his interest with a question. We had a bit of backwards and forwards discussing athletes and social media and digital and the opportunities. And it was good backwards and forwards. And then I sort of went onto Twitter and asked people the same question about Cyberdust. And I was having some conversation with friends on Twitter, and Mark Cuban came over the top and started correcting me and putting his point of view across. And by the time I went back to Cyberdust, he'd already organized to set up a time. So, I had Mark Cuban's email address from 4 years ago, but I did not want to go to him until I had a valuable product for him and a valuable platform for him. And so I went to him because he wanted to obviously promote his Cyberdust product. I was able to point to him to a guest list with big names in the sports business space and gave credibility. I think if I'd have got Mark Cuban, as in the first 10 episodes, I don't think it would have had the success that I did. It's really interesting. And I think the only other thing I'd say from a marketing point of view would be do not neglect in real life and conferences and networking events and putting your brand out there. As you can see, I've got Sports Geek jerseys behind. I wear Sports Geek merch and get the brand out there. I'm happy to share, T-shirts and swag with guests and things like that. So in real life and connecting with people is really important. And what I have found recently, to go back to my conversation with Bill Schlau at the San Francisco Giants. I think I interviewed him sitting on a beautiful sunny day at AT&T Park, sitting in the dugout, and that's how we did the podcast. And then 6 weeks later, I was in Dallas and caught up with him, and he was like a bit amazed and a little bit thrilled about the amount of feedback he'd got from the podcast, from people that he respects and admires and work in industry. And so for me, that's a big win. One, it solidifies the podcast as being listened to by the people I wanted to listen to, which is, when going back to that audience piece at the start of the discussion. But then also it gives further credibility when I want to talk to other people. So I think that's it. I'm running out of time. If there's any questions you do have, please either fire away now. Or you can go to if you go to my Twitter account, the pinned tweet actually has I did it around my 5 year anniversary mark around some of the things that I've learned. I did a bit of a Twitter storm. So if you go to that tweet, I can't type and write at the same time. You go to that tweet, it does go through a few of the things which I covered today. As I said, happy to be connected on Twitter if you haven't sent me a tweet yet. If you want to connect on LinkedIn, I'm more than happy to. So until next time, hopefully I'll get an invite back for next year. Really enjoyed the process. I'm glad the voice held up. Unfortunately, my team was in the grand final on the weekend and I'm a little bit scratchy. We did not win, but it's important to be there. It's important to be there. So that's, I think, at any point you want to come back, I think all's done.
All right. Yeah, Sean, I mean, even though your team's lost yesterday, you crushed it. You won tonight. I mean,
thank you.
You can witness the chat room and just the amount of knowledge and experience that you have within the podcasting space. And I thought it was really important. A few takeaways was, you know, you can't expect that big guest right out the gate. I mean, you prepped for someone like a Mark Cuban, right? By years yep. of personal branding, learning distribution, finding out these different ways of branding yourself and marketing yourself. And that all led to a path, right? So some long-term planning for you turned out to be very beneficial. And I think that's something podcasters in the podcasting community needs to take to heart is we've had a few sessions here about, you know, branding yourself, you know, and having that image and creating an environment around yourself that is conducive to those things.
Yeah, definitely. It was a long play, but yeah, you're right. I didn't need to do much prep once I was able to secure the interview with Mark Cuban. And then funnily enough, I followed up with an interview with Brad Main, who was CEO of the American Airlines Center after that. Because I'd met him 4 years earlier. So, there's lots of little things you have to do along the way that can set you up for that success.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Sean, I want to thank you from the International Podcast Day team and the International Podcast Day community. Thank you so much for taking part in our event. Make sure you guys connect with him. Just head over to his website, sportsgeekhq.com. Once again, Sean, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
No problems, mate.
New workshops on audience, content, distribution, valuation, and pitch following SportsGeek's Digital to Dollars process. Go to digitaltodollars.com.
Thanks again to Dave Lee. For more info, go to internationalpodcastday.com. Check out the other speakers. Everyone from the 24 hours of content is on the YouTube channel. We'll have a list of the playlist there. In the show notes, as always, you can go to sportsgeekhq.com/215. That's where you'll find all the links. There'll be links to podcasting, some of the podcast stats available. And, you know, as I just described there, I sort of went through the digital to dollars process, how I go about it from a podcasting point of view, from a knowing your audience, knowing your content, knowing your distribution, know your valuation, know your pitch. So if there's a place, if you are struggling or you need assistance in that space, understanding your rate card, helping your commercial team better understand your digital team and driving more revenue, how you can develop better pitches for your sponsors, please get in touch to talk more about Digital to Dollars. You can go to digitaltodollars.com to check out more. Other things, just to wrap up, don't forget, we'd love to have you involved in Sports Geek Nation. If you have not checked out Sports Geek Nation, please do so at sportsgeeknation.com. It is our thriving digital sports business community. It has executives from around the world. Really thankful to have people in North America, the Asia Pacific and Europe that are involved, answering questions, sharing their knowledge, sharing their best practice. I'd love for you as a listener to join in as well. We've got a really active Slack group, a Facebook group that we're testing out as Facebook is tweaking the algorithm. Regular weekly AMAs where we're getting quizzing members on what they're doing and their knowledge. So thank you for the members that have done it so far and the ones that we've got planned in October and starting to fill up the November schedule. So please join us at sportsgeeknation.com. I'd love to have you on board, and if you're a recent sign up, please reach out, say hello, so people get to know you. One of the first things we ask people to do is to go to the intros channel and introduce themselves. And it's really good to see a real diverse group of both skill set and geographic regions and sports represented in Sports Geek Nation. The last thing, if I'm asking you for one more thing. Is that I am going to be testing out a new Q&A style podcast, sort of based on the AMAs, but where I will answer the questions in a shorter form podcast. So not 30, 40, 50 minute podcast like this one, I'm probably thinking about something. And again, this is sort of testing out the theory around different types of formats. I'm probably going to try to keep it under a 10 minute podcast where I'll just answer a single question in as much depth as I can, with as much knowledge that I have or research that I've done to answer the question. So I'm testing a few things here. One is I'm trying to get all the questions on one Facebook post. Am I crazy? Will it work? I don't know, but I'm going to test it. So there is a short video post on my Facebook page, Sean Callanan Speaks. If you have not done that, the link, the post will actually be in the show notes as well. Jolly will put it in the show notes. I want the questions there. I want to have people asking the question, and then what I'm going to do is every time I release one of these answer episodes, which are still probably going to come up with a better name, I'm going to put the reply with the episode in that thread, and sort of see if the both organic growth of people asking questions and then seeing the answers, as well as amplifying it with paid spend behind it to push it out to more people, to see if this one post can have effectively be a thread of, hey, here's all the content for the question and answer session. So if you've got a question for me, yes, you can email it in, you can tweet it in, you can send it in via LinkedIn. I'm going to accept from other forms, but I really want to try this this Facebook, I guess, little test. So go to facebook.com/SeanCallananSpeaks, find the, just scroll down a little bit, find the video, ask the question there. I'll say thank you. I won't ignore you, but I will park the question and come back to answer it in an audio form, which is my preferred medium, as I discussed in the International Podcast Day presentation. So that's it. Please, send me in your questions. Until next episode, my name is Sean Callanan, and you've been listening to Sports Geek.
Join Sports Geek Nation, access to exclusive Slack and Facebook groups with regular Q&A sessions with Sean Callanan. Go to sportsgeeknation.com to join. Need help with your digital rate card? Not sure how to price your assets? Is there a disconnect between digital and commercial? That is where Sean works best, in digital divorce counselor mode. Book a time for a call with Sean to discuss the Sports Geek process. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/phone call.
Go to sportsgeekhq.com for more sports digital marketing resources.